Well, good morning, everyone. It has definitely been a rich blessing to be here already. So, I guess I'll... First of all, thank you for what you shared, Andy, there. It's a challenge to think of the responsibility, I guess, that we have here. But when I was asked to share an opening, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be sharing on. But I've been doing a bit of book study on the book of Ephesians, so I'll probably just be sharing out of chapter 2 some of my thoughts out of chapter 2. So, first of all, I guess I'll start by reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So first of all, in verse 1, this word quickened, in my understanding, it's been added by the translators. It doesn't directly translate to a Greek word. But I was looking at some other Greek words that were translated as quickened, and it seems to have the meaning of to make alive or to revitalize. And to make alive, obviously, or revitalize, connotes a death. There's a connotation there that there was a death. And it says here what that death was. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So, this death, it says in Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death." And in 1 Peter 3:18, it uses the word quickened there again. And it says that Christ was put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so that same, he was made alive, that same made alive word is there. And verse 5 here uses quickened also. It says, "We are dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ." But it says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. This thing of death by sin was established all the way in the beginning of creation. After God created man, he told them about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So I guess that has always been the law of sin, that the wages of sin is death. Verses 2 and 3 here have even more evidence of that death by sin that we had as part of our lives. It says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," and that prince there obviously refers to the devil, Jesus used that same Greek word in John when he refers to the devil as the prince of this world. And then it also says, we walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here it says again, we were part of it. We all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. And so these things are still in the world. It says the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we were part of that. It says we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I thought it was interesting that it specifies the mind there because in the new covenant we are judged by our thoughts, by what we think, by what's on the inside. It says that in Matthew 5. And the reason that all this was in there, the reason that we were walking according to these things, was because of what it says there at the end of verse 3. It says, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It was in our nature. It was what was on the inside. It was what was coming out. David realized this in Psalm 51, verse 5. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But then we go on in verse 4, and it shows that tremendous power, the glorious power that is able to change that nature at work here. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. It was because of his great love for us that he came to this earth to die a criminal death for us. And in verse 5 it says that he didn't wait on us to come to him. He didn't wait till we had cleaned up our lives a little bit. It says even while we were dead in sins, he quickened us. That thought comes out also in Romans 5 verses 6 to 10. I'll just read that. Romans 5 verse 6 to 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Here it says twice. It says it in verse 6, we were without strength. And in verse 10, it says we were his enemies. And that thought has always blessed me, that God didn't wait till we tried to clean up our lives, because it was impossible. If he'd waited till then, we would have completely, it would never have worked. And he took on himself that death that we deserved. And rising again, he has raised us up together. It says in verse 6, or it says in verse 5, also quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This raised us up together, as far as I could tell, is one Greek word. That phrase, raised us up together. And it means to rouse from the dead in company with. Then there's also that togetherness in verse 6 where it says made us sit together. And that also is one Greek word saying giving a seat in company with. So I don't know what all that means, but it was kind of inspiring to think of it that it refers to how we are raised from the dead with Christ and made to sit in heaven with him. And he did all this in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, to show the world his love, his grace through his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. And I think I got in a little bit over my head here when I chose this section, but so bear with me. But here in verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So this grace, we can, by the grace of God, by the faith in the grace of God, we can be saved. But it is a gift. We cannot do enough good, we cannot do enough right to save ourselves. We can never earn it. We can't do enough good to repay God for dying for us. The only way the only price he will accept, the only payment he will accept is our all. And that is all he asks, just everything from us. There are many quote Christians today who say that this grace gives them license to sin, says they can do whatever they want and the grace of God covers it. But Romans 6, verses 1 and 2 say that that's not the case. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Even a very merciful judge will know that the payment, the penalty, the for wrong has to be paid. There's a story about the woman who was in prison, or who was at court in court for a petty theft. And this judge was a merciful judge, so knowing that the payment had to be paid, he forgave the woman because she had stole for her children. They were hungry. She didn't have the money to buy. And at the same time, paid the debt himself. The law isn't going to make exceptions. It has to be paid. James 2 explains that how we need both faith and works, but I'm not going to go into that. In verse 10 here, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It says we were created, there at the end, it says, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I believe that's pointing to the way God originally created us. The way he made us at the beginning, that's what his plan was. His plan was for us to live holy lives. This ordained is translated from a Greek word meaning to fit up in advance. It's how we were created. And that was what God wanted from the beginning. But in Christ Jesus, he is bringing us back into that perfect relationship with him. So I think that's all I have. Thank you for your patience. And God bless you.